This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1496, Three Ways to Do Self-Study as a Business English Student with Skip Montreux. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection. With your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Colorado and New York City, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. Today, our guest, Skip from Down to Business English, shows us three tips to maximize your self-study if you want to improve your business English. Listen in for some great resources and strategies today.
To get fluent and connect in English, you need a way to practice without being judged by others and to feel free to make mistakes. That's why Monica, an English teacher from Poland, joined our fluency course.
I didn't know what to expect, but when I finally opened the course and I joined the community, I realized that this is what I've been looking for.
You can join this same community that Monica joined and achieve exciting results at allearsenglish.com/plan. Save up to 20% if you join before midnight on May 5th. Offer expires at midnight on May 5th.
Hello, Skip, and welcome to All Ears English. I'm excited to have you here today. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much, Lindsay, for having me on the show.
Awesome. So guys, today I'm really excited to introduce to you our guest for today. We have Skip Montreux, who is from Canada, but living right now in Japan. Is that right, Skip?
That's correct.
Okay.
I am in Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah. And how long have you been there?
I've been here a long time. I came over here in 1997.
Oh my
gosh.
So
I guess that's, I'd have to do the math, but around 22, 23 years.
Okay. That's amazing. So guys, today we're going to talk a little bit about business English. But first, before we get into it, Skip, we do talk about Japan a fair amount on this show because I lived in Japan. Michelle has visited Japan. We've done live events in Japan. Tell me, what is the most surprising thing for you as a Westerner living in Japan? What has been something that's just been really bizarre or surprising for you?
Well, that's a question I get asked quite a bit. So, I mean, I have lots of standard answers, but honestly, the most surprising thing for me when I first came here, I'm from Canada. I'm from the western part of Canada.
Yes.
And the population is very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just freaked out by how dense the population is. And
Yeah.
I did a little research on it way back. And do you know what the population density of Tokyo is?
I don't even, give us the number. I can imagine it's insane.
It's like something like 380 people per square kilometer.
Wow. And
where I am from, it's, any idea what the population density of Canada is?
I mean, 5 per square kilometer.
You're close. It's 7.8.
Okay.
So just the incredible density of human beings is the most surprising thing to me. I'm quite used to it now, but that would be my answer.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. And I'm sure that's not just limited to Japan. I mean, a lot of our listeners all over the world do live in cities that are really densely packed. That's fascinating, Skip. So let's dive in then to business English. That's why we're having you on today. We've been talking more and more about business English on All Ears English. And do you specialize in business English yourself, Skip?
Yeah, for the last 15 years, I have focused primarily on corporate language training or business English.
Okay.
So that's what I do, yes.
Awesome, awesome. So today you're going to show us three tips to be more successful when we do self-study. And how does this compare to, like, is it quite different from learning in a classroom in your mind?
Well, in my mind, I think self-study is extremely important.
Yeah.
And it could be something that a student or an employee does completely independently of a classroom or in tandem with a course that they're taking.
Awesome.
Most of my students are taking a class, a 2-hour class, once a week. And I keep telling them there's no way you're going to make progress unless you are putting in the time between classes to self-study. It's very, very important.
That is so true. We find that a lot of our listeners here at All Ears English are really self-driven, independent learners. And it's always good to supplement self-study with a class, but many of them don't necessarily have that option. They're busy, they have families. So let's get into those tips here, Skip. So what is number one? What's the first tip that we should follow with business English self-study? What would you say?
Okay. Well, tip number one, and these are in no particular order, but tip number one is make self-study part of your daily life. I mean, it's so important. And, you know, students come to my class and I ask, did you study this week? And they said, yes, I studied for 3 hours on Sunday. And I say, great. But I would prefer it, honestly, if a student would be studying four or five times, self-studying four or five times a week in, you know, anywhere from 15 to 30 minute sessions, you know, really focused review and acquisition sessions on their own. I think the repetition is very, very important.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about acquisition, balancing out. So one of your key tips here is to balance out acquisition and review. Tell me a little bit about the idea behind that for our listeners.
Well, the thinking behind that is, of course, if you're in business English, you are very concerned with finding vocabulary and phrases and listening to language related to your field or your industry. But, you know, it's very important to review a lot. And part of that review is output review, speaking out loud, and just the repetition, like an athlete going to the gym, working out, you know, is that sort of thing. Of course, you need to acquire things, but there's a certain point where you have enough passive vocabulary and understanding of grammar concepts. You just need to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying that self-study shouldn't just be, for example, listening to a podcast alone. It should be using what you've heard on a podcast or the words you've read in a book and using them somehow. Is that right?
That's right. And it could simply mean, it could simply just be speaking, you know, if you have the audio script of a podcast or a newspaper article you downloaded from the internet. It could just be, you know, looking at the paper, taking your eyes off the paper, and producing that language very loudly. Well, I shouldn't say very loudly, but aggressively.
Aggressively.
And working those mouth muscles and working on your pronunciation.
Yeah, in a sense, when we do that, we're kind of retraining. I think a lot of us, if we've learned a language, a second language, we've kind of shied away from it over our lives. Maybe we've been afraid to speak out loud, right? And speak loudly. And the chance to speak loudly by yourself in a new language will break down those old habits of shying away and being afraid.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So good. Go ahead, Skip.
You know, I was just going to say, I cannot tell you how many times I have had a new student join a course and with, you know, a fairly good TOEIC level. And I don't really teach them anything. I just give them the opportunity to speak, many speaking opportunities. And within a month or 2 months, they're much more fluent.
Oh my gosh, I love that. It's already in them, right? For you guys, it's already in you. You guys are at the upper intermediate level to advanced level. You have what you need. It's a matter of starting to speak. So this is so good. So let's go to number two then, Skip. What is your second tip for our listeners?
Okay, the second tip is every student needs to create and maintain some kind of vocabulary activation system.
Yes.
And what is this? It's a very personal thing. I know there are a lot of apps available out there that, you know, vocabulary learning apps.
Right.
But, you know, I really recommend students create some kind of system. And it's up to them how they make it. It could be a notebook. It could be, you know, a lot of my students use Excel. Just a simple Excel spreadsheet, you know, a column for the keyword, a column for the translation, a column with an example sentence, you know, and then a column for the source. Where did they, was it something their teacher had written on the whiteboard or something they saw in a news article or in a video? And and they can sort that Excel sheet and review it and, again, produce it out loud.
Yes. So good. Yeah. I like that you said it, you know, Excel is one option, but it doesn't have to be on Excel. I think it's about finding the medium where you're likely to go back to, you know what I mean? It's the same with time management systems or calendar tasks. Absolutely. Type things, right? What are you always going to come back to? What's going to work best for you? So guys, whether it's a physical notebook, that's fine. If that's easiest for you to grab, or whether it's an Excel sheet right on Google Documents or something. It depends on how you act in the world, right? Right, Skip?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of my most successful students, I looked at his system, and it was a notebook, mm-hmm. and it was just chicken scratch. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. But
right.
he was able, everything's were highlighted, and it worked very well for him.
I love that. And so you said in this vocabulary notebook, we are focusing on useful language and passive language. What do you mean by that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I don't know about the rest of the world, but in Japan, you know, everyone has studied at least 6 years of English in school, and they've studied a lot of words.
Definitely.
And so, but they don't, you know, a lot of learners don't use those words. Mm. So I encourage students to pay attention to words that if they see it on the paper, they know it, but they know they never use it.
Yes.
That should go into their activation system.
Right.
And even if they encounter that word several times over a period of 2 or 3 weeks in different sources, they should put it into their system again.
For sure.
As they are reviewing, they will, you know, it will slowly become part of their active vocabulary.
Yeah, I think that really is one of the biggest struggles for our listeners is they know the words, they're out there, but how do we, it's really flipping it into making it your word and making it available immediately in conversation. So there has to be this intermediate step. And I like, Skip, that you're calling this the activation system. It's so good. It's motivating, I think.
So yeah, so active vocabulary and useful vocabulary.
Yes.
Pertaining to your industry.
Okay, so that leads us into the third tip, right, Skip? So what would be your third tip in terms of how to self-study with business English? This is really going to get into resources, I think.
Absolutely. So the third tip, number three, is to expose yourself to authentic language.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll vary depending on what you need. But, you know, if you are in the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. you should be reading and listening to topics related to the pharmacies.
Yeah.
If you're an engineer, you know, it should be related to what you do. And, you know, we live in, you know, I'm sure students have heard this everywhere. And it's not a cop-out on teachers' part, but the internet is such a great resource.
Yeah.
And I really have a lot of success with students who spend a lot of time on YouTube.
Yeah, interesting. Tell me more about that.
Well, I you know, Google a topic or go to YouTube and search a topic and see what comes up. But there are some, you know, I really like the Business Insider channel on mm-hmm. YouTube.
Yeah.
They have very, you know, 5 to 10, 15 minute news reports on a business, and they're quite current. Mm-hmm. And in YouTube, I'm sure, well, maybe not everyone is aware, but closed captioning is a fantastic resource.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I encourage students to find something on YouTube, listen to it, watch it without any closed captioning.
Okay.
And then watch it again with the closed captioning on, using that pause button, taking note. Using their dictionary if there are words or phrases they're not sure of, collecting them in their activation system.
Right.
And
okay.
Then watching it again.
Yeah, so good. And I love this idea because it's true. Like, teachers can't provide all this specific knowledge in these specific industries, like you listed here, engineering, pharmaceuticals, technology, finance. There's no way that ESL teachers can provide that insider vocabulary and knowledge, right?
Absolutely. And another part of it is, you know, and this is where resources such as, you know, I don't mean to plug you, but you know, All Ears English is great.
Thank you.
Offer transcripts. I mean, that's a great resource, mm-hmm. because students can listen to, you know, authentic yes. speakers interacting with each other.
Yeah.
Then they have an audio script that they can refer to. And I'm sure you're well aware of how, you know, students will understand it completely in written form, mm-hmm. but when they listen to it, they can't catch it.
Exactly.
You know, it's a great yes. place to focus on, you know, connected speech and really become, you know, more accustomed to it.
For sure. For sure. And then what are some of the other channels on YouTube that are, just to throw out a couple of names that our listeners can go and look for, Skip? You had a couple listed here. Yeah.
Yeah. So Business Insider is one. Another, Bloomberg has a channel. Mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. you're in financial industry, mm-hmm. CNN Money is yeah. there.
Okay.
The CNN 10, which is aimed at ESL students.
Even know about that. No. Interesting.
They have a host and they use CNN reports. And
okay.
It's very good. Wall Street Journal has a great channel. And, you know, I'm not a Fox watcher, but Fox right. Business is very, very good.
Yeah, awesome. I'm sure it is. Yeah, I mean, aspects of Fox, I'm sure, are fine.
It's Fox Business. It's Fox Business.
Maybe we should say the backstory for our listeners, guys. We're laughing because Fox News is a very, it's a very conservative channel, and it's a very a partisan channel, but everything nowadays is very biased. We've talked about this on other episodes, Skip, that the news right now is very, very biased.
But yeah. Did I mention CNN Money?
Yeah.
So okay, there's a balance.
There you go. We're balancing it out, guys. You can hear the undertones of the conversation. I love it. So good. So guys, write down those resources and check those out. Now, one last question, Skip, in terms of reading. Now, is there anything that we should be reading? Can we throw out any resources or ways of doing this for our listeners?
I recommend a lot making use of news websites. And mm-hmm. one tip I have for reading resources. In Japan, there are a couple of websites, Japan Today and okay. Japan Times. And what is especially good about those sites is that a student can read about domestic news, you know, news stories that are happening in Japan.
Yeah.
And they're already aware of the story in their first language.
Right.
And then they get to read it in English.
Yeah.
And I did a little poking around. I think wherever a student is, wherever they live, there are English resources that the language isn't
for super, sure.
You know, sometimes the New York Times will become very idiomatic and very inside baseball. And so it's a lot to consume. Whereas, you know, reading about domestic news on an English website, it tends to be a little bit less frustrating, I mm-hmm. might say.
Yeah, that's a great idea because we already have the context for things, right? A big part of being able to understand English is knowing the context, right? And you already have
Absolutely.
The context, guys. If you're reading Japan Today or any local newspaper in English about your country, you're half the battle is already there, right? You're already there. I love it. Oh, this is fantastic, Skip. So thank you so much for coming on the show today to let us know how to kind of make business English our own. There is so much that we do need to be doing on our own, but that's empowering, right? In a sense.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
We can take it into our own hands, right, Skip?
The ball is in your court.
I love it. That's such a good way to end it. So, Skip, could you let our listeners know where to find more from you, where to find you online, what you're doing, and some resources on your end? Tell us about your podcast, too.
Well, sure. My podcast, the title is downtobusinessenglish.com. Mm-hmm. And each of our shows, we take a business news story that's happening somewhere in the world. One of our recent stories was on the GAFA group, Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple hauled in front of Congress recently.
Yeah.
And myself and my co-host, I have one co-host, Samantha Vega, who is based in New Zealand, and another co-host from the UK. He's based in Edinburgh, Scotland at the moment. We discussed the story. And then we have a little section at the end called D2V, or down to vocabulary, where we review some of the vocabulary that had come up in our conversation.
Oh, very cool.
So, and you know, listeners can visit our website at downtobusinessenglish.com. And for every episode, there's a free audio script that you can download.
Cool. And so when they look for your podcast too, it's written D2B on the cover. Is that right? D2B.
That's right.
Okay. So that's important for our listeners to know. Yeah.
Thank you. So it's a blue artwork and it has the letters D2B.
I love it. So guys, I recommend you go over and check out Skip's podcast and website, because it sounds like a very unique and interesting format that you have, and something that our listeners would definitely be interested in. Modern business issues are fascinating. You know, what's going on with those tech companies? We want to know, you know what I mean? And we want to know it from you and learn English through it. That's awesome. Love it.
If anyone has a topic they would like to hear us discuss, they can shoot me an email at downtobusinessenglish@gmail.com.
Okay.
Just tell me what you would like to listen to and which topic, and we will do our best.
Awesome. All right, Skip. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been good. I'm going to check out what you're doing over there too, myself.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a good one.
Okay. You too, Lindsay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.